What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 375th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I am back. No longer do you have to suffer from the host that is Will. Kindness and heartwarming hosting is out the window. It's me and Greg.
Yo. What's up, everybody?
Spent the what is this voice?
I don't know. I'm out of my normal time. This is like not a Sunday. I haven't had brunch.
No,
it's
yeah.
All sorts of wild right now.
Wild Greg and heartwarming Steve here.
Heartwarming.
Will is a good host, but always like there's like a different zone Will is in when he's in hosting.
He's a little
mode.
Surly sometimes, but it's fine. He brings the edge that we need to be considered legitimate.
Yes. The most legitimate Pokemon podcast out there is not what we're known for. Will is not here. We're recording this on a Wednesday night. There was Pokemon news this afternoon, which is perfect because I don't think there's going to be any more Pokemon news for the next 4 days. I say that now, but Pokemon Company full of surprises over there at TPCI.
They didn't do what I wanted them to do today.
Show,
according to patterns.
Oh, show Eevees?
No, yeah, show the evolutions. Pattern says September is starter evolution middles.
I don't. Is
and we
that
didn't
true?
Get it. Yeah.
Has that been like?
Look
through the ages.
I got my information off of Twitter. So
well, Twitter.
Great assault. It.
Twitter, but Twitter says one thing has happened, and they determined that one thing is a pattern.
I mean, they had three things listed, but I didn't really like do my research. I didn't think I had to do a thesis on it.
Will is not here. He's actually in the process of moving to Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So we can't bother him this week.
I'm excited to move him in, but I'm excited that he'll be here.
Try to get Bobby, but unfortunately unavailable on Wednesday night. It's very late when we're recording this, so hopefully this episode has the quality that most episodes.
Oh, it will.
Yeah, don't worry about the quality. We got
don't worry about the quality because I got a lot to talk about with Pokemon Masters right now.
We're gonna do a couple things. We're gonna do Masters. We're gonna do the Nintendo Direct, and then that's pretty much it. Those are the two big things. I have a couple little things. Will and Rochelle and Bobby did not talk about Masters, but they did only technically have like 2 days to play it, which probably isn't enough time. I'm just gonna kick off here with some news. The first bit of news here is off Pokemon.com. Mewtwo Deoxys and more Pokemon in Pokemon. More in Pokemon Go's September Legendary Raid Hour. Just a heads up here, there is a Pokemon Go event ongoing now. By the time this podcast goes up, there's another Pokemon Go event. I'm just going to hit this raid stuff here for you. September 4th, which was tonight, it was Raikou, Entei, and Suicune Day.
Them
so
good dogs.
Sabertooth tigers are cats.
And, I mean, it was all over Twitter.
And that was from the 6 to 7 hour local time. September 11th will be Deoxys. If you have not gotten an EX raid pass, probably try to you got plenty of time to coordinate. Maybe go to a local park. Deoxys isn't too bad if you have a couple friends or...
Is it...
It's going to be random. It's going to be random
so
between
just
the forms.
Pick a form?
I think like the legendary Pokemon Raikou, Entei, and Suicune. You can see all of them up there at once. I'm assuming with Deoxys. This is an assumption. You'll see all four of them if you're in a park that has multiple stops. September 18th, this is the big one that people care about. That will be Mewtwo. Not to be confused with Mew. Mewtwo, the second one. This will actually be the first time it will be available shiny. So September 18th is what you're looking at. And then September 25th, it says to be announced. Hope maybe a new Pokemon? Maybe Regigigas or something? They don't say.
Have we done... Has Regigigas happened?
Big Papa Reggie has not happened yet, no. This was included in the press release after the Nintendo Direct that no one talked about because whatever, but this is off Pokemon.com, also in the press release. Pokemon TCG Galar Collection. Again, I'm just going to try to get out all the little news here. Grookey, Scorbunny, Sobble are the amazing new first partner Pokemon itching to explore the Galar region. Fans can now find these newly discovered Pokemon in the Pokemon Trading Card Game Galar Collection, in addition to three awesome foil promo cards featuring the adorable, their words not mine, Grookey, Squirbunny, and Sobble. Each Galar Collection will include two foil oversized cards featuring the newly discovered legendary Pokemon Zacian and Zamazenta. These cards will showcase the upcoming Pokemon V mechanic. In addition, the collection features one of three glossy pins featuring Grookey, Squirbunny, and Sobble, along with four Pokemon TCG booster packs. The Pokemon TCG Galar Collection is a great way to kick off your collection for a new region. And it will come with a Pokemon TCG Online, and that collection will launch on November 15th. Some would say that if they were to delay a video game, they would maybe have to delay these cards.
Maybe.
Or delay the anime. Or delay the a million other things they all put out at the same time. They do have the card art here for Zacian and Zamazenta there. Zacian 220 HP, Zamazenta 230, with Zacian doing an attack called Brave Blade for 230, and Zamazenta doing an attack called Assault Tackle for 130. But no energy costs and no energies on these cards, so they are still not telling us what type these Pokemon would be. You would think the default answer would be Steel because it's a Sword and Shield, but we learned with Solgaleo that was not a fire Pokemon.
That was not what we thought, was not real.
Even though it was supposed to represent the sun, I guess. We'll be cautiously optimistic of what those Pokemon types will be. There's actually a lot of news that that Will and them did not cover. I didn't tell Will what news to cover. He was the host. I granted that. But there is like a lawsuit thing here. But we're going to get to that to next week. It's a Pokemon Go federal judge settlement.
Oh,
which is, I think, very interesting. We'll save that till next week, though.
Yeah.
Just because I don't want this show to be incredibly long, just because travel and whatnot. It's nice. Once I'm done with this weekend, I have a couple weeks of not leaving my house, and I've never been so excited
to stay home.
To stay home.
We had fun in Seattle.
Yeah. I forgot about PAX. If you came out to PAX and you saw the panel, there was a couple of you that said that you were too nervous to say hi. I totally understand. Hopefully people had fun at the PAX panel. They gave us way too big of a room.
The room was intimidating in its size, but the people were lovely, and just the greatest moment ever, fixing that list in the best way possible.
The
number
list
one,
was,
number two spots are amazing right now.
Fixed to an extent. I'm going to see here. It looks like it was live streamed. So if you missed the panel, I will include it in the show notes here. It looks like they did finally start cutting and editing it. They for some reason just streamed from start to finish without segments, which made it a little hard for people to find.
Yeah.
But it looks like this is sliced up here very nicely. So I will, there it is. I will throw that in the show notes for those that are curious to watch it. It was a very fun panel.
It was a good time. Thanks to everybody for coming out and for everybody who hung out after. It was super great to meet everybody.
And there was we joked about it, but there was a good amount of hands that went up when I asked if people listened to the podcast. So
it was a good amount. It was nice. Awesome.
So I'll include that in the show notes. PAX overall was great. Full disclosure. We had a meeting with Nintendo to play Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, although it was the same NESA demo. There were two Nintendo / Pokemon company representatives there at the specific booth. Again, full disclosure, while PAX paid for my ticket, no hotel or airfare was covered.
No, it was not.
That was out of our own pockets.
Yes, it was.
The ticket was covered by PAX, but we did play Sword and Shield. We also played Link's Awakening Remastered, and we played Luigi's Mansion.
I played Dragon Quest XI.
We strictly can't really talk about anything Link's Awakening,
nope.
nor Is this probably the correct podcast? I will say, though,
it
for somebody who had zero expectations of Luigi's Mansion, man, that demo was so fun.
That demo was awesome. Also, having been able to play Sword and Shield for the first time, y'all, you've been sleeping on how good that game is. Y'all been like, oh, it's fun. Like, that game's, like, really good for, even in the demo.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a polished, fun game. And you're all like, oh, it's good. The demo's just the water gym.
No, it's good. It's really good. It's hard to oversell. I mean, it's like four trainer battles and a gym puzzle. Like, it's...
Yeah, but, like, there's so many things. Like, the art style, the how fluid everybody moves, the like how easy the menus are to read. And,
well,
like,
I mean, it was a lot of just copy and pasting.
I hate you so much right now.
No, I 100% agree. There's so many things that are very good about the demo. The one thing that we didn't talk about when I played it with Will that we were talking about after you walked away from it was how Pokemon actually feel like they have weight in this game.
Yeah, every Pokemon feels like it has its own weight and movement. Like, when it enters the field, each one felt different. Like, it's hard to say because there's not a tangible feedback. It's just how, like, the animation of it hitting the ground, the sound it makes, like, all the things around it that makes your brain think you're feeling something, all of it was so well done, and they all felt so different.
Yeah, and then the other thing we didn't talk about was how you get the badges. Instead of going into, like, a badge case in, like, past games, they go into, like, this ring?
Yeah.
And it looks like they form out the inside of this gold ring, which is pretty cool. But that's, like, hard to explain on an audio show, but...
Yeah,
It looks good.
It looks really good.
Yeah, I did capture about 3 minutes of footage for the Nessa fight. I don't know if by the time this podcast goes up, if that footage will be available. They did let me record, but only 3 minutes, and it was not direct recording. It had to be a recording of the TV, so that was one of the rules they had for that. My main goal of the recording was to Dynamax a Pokemon and have that Dynamax Pokemon die, because when a Dynamaxed Pokemon dies while still Dynamaxed, they explode like an electrode, which is pretty cool. Then yeah. We were able to do that. I won't spoil it, but I'll try to get that footage up before this podcast goes up, but obviously traveling and stuff. The other thing is we did ask the Nintendo reps questions. Of course, there's...
We asked a lot of questions that they were not
willing to answer. I feel like you've mastered your job at Nintendo when you come up with very clever ways to avoid questions. Let me give you an example. Nintendo reps, I see that this little boy has a sweater on, and the sweater has what looks to me an obvious new Pokemon, some would say in the shape of a squirrel, silhouetted. Is this a new Pokemon in the Galar region? Nintendo's response. Glad you noticed. That's a very popular sweater in the Galar region. Thanks, Nintendo.
Yeah, it's a good sweater, isn't it? Don't you like it?
Don't you just love that sweater with the squirrel on it?
With a squirrel on it? With the Dorito squirrel on it? Yes, I do. Hey, I've noticed that this part's missing from the menu that's always been there. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
we noticed the... So in Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Moon, they did the thing where if you used a super effective attack, it would say... Let's say you were fighting a Rattata and you had a Machop, and Machop had Brick Break and Seismic Toss. Seismic Toss is normal, I think, and Brick Break is fighting. So if you fought that Rattata before, it would say that Brick Break would be super effective for every Rattata you've fought in the future, which is nice and very helpful. And since there are, 800 plus Pokemon, 700 plus moves, 400 plus abilities, sometimes you don't remember everything, especially when some moves like Freeze Dry is a water type move, but is or an ice type move that's super effective against water, which is not typically the
right
the norm. And I noticed that was missing in the demo. Like if I was fighting Gossifleur with Scorbunny, I know that that's a grass Pokemon. I know fire is weak to grass, but it didn't say that the fire move was super effective. And we brought that up and they were like, yeah, that's really interesting. We'll bring it back to the team.
Yeah, the team.
Was the team? So hopefully that mechanic comes back, because I think it is I always compare it to the teachers that like sit in class that back in high school, where they're like, you know, you're not going to have a calculator in real life. You got to learn. Like, yeah, I could sit there and I could pull up a chart to be like, oh, yep, electric, ground, yep, no one wants to pull up a chart when they're playing. No one wants to do long division to get a tip at a table. They want to open their iPhone, plug in the 20%, leave the tip and get out of there. The waiter's not impressed that you did long division on the receipt. So hopefully that mechanic comes back. The last thing is the reps pointed out that for everyone tweeting me that like 831 was on whoever's jersey and that was supposed to be a thing. You wrong. That wasn't a thing. The jersey numbers are puns. We talked about this before on the podcast. There was no Nintendo announcement on 831, at least that I knew of. Maybe the anime stuff, but the anime stuff was an announcement for an announcement. But the girl in the demo, her jersey said 227, and the Nintendo the reps did say that the 227 was to acknowledge Pokemon Day.
Yeah. Like they really wanted us to know that. I don't know why, but they're like, oh hey, notice.
When we were playing like Zelda or Luigi's Mansion, they definitely wanted us to notice like specific things, which is like that's their job, I guess, but
right.
They were very focused on like, pay attention to this part of the game.
Look at this part.
I was like, I don't remember if you guys announced this or not, but you can customize your jersey number, right? Like, I'm not sure if that was a Japan thing or if that was a rumor or if you guys, and she looked at the other rep and then looked back at me. And then looked back at the other rep and was like, I don't think we're talking about that right now. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, thanks for the answer. It was a very good interaction.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you're going to point out this numbering system when we ask could it be changed. We're not going to talk about that right now. Nor are we going to talk about Dorito Squirrel. How about you, switch Pokemon? And I'm like, I have been playing Pokemon for 20 some years now. Do not need to tell me how to switch Pokemon.
They were very nice.
They were great. They were at least humoring us and laughing at our funny situations. But yeah, they are very good at swipping around those direct answers that we were asking questions.
Thank you, Nintendo, for inviting us. It was very nice.
Yes, it was absolutely
all
great.
The Nintendo reps are listening to this show. Probably not. I do know a couple people at Game Freak, or not Game Freak, sorry, the Pokemon Company listen to the show, but these are all nice. Thank you. Last bit of news here before we get to the Master stuff. This is off the Pokemon Japanese website.
Ooh.
Also, Andrew from Slack sent this in from the Attic channel. That this was news. There was actually a rumor of this, but it's now been official here. Join the Pokemon Secret Club and get Necrozma of different colors. Good old Google Translate. It means shiny Necrozma. This is Google Translate, so let's see how good they do here. The number of members of the limited time fan club Pokemon Secret Club that only those who have reserved the Nintendo Switch software of Sword and Shield release on Friday, November 15th, will exceed 5555. To commemorate this, all members of Pokemon Secret Club will receive a serial code that will allow you to receive Necrozma of different color with the Nintendo 3DS software of Pocket Monster Sun, Moon, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. The serial code will be available Friday, September 6th, from 18 o'clock to November 14th, Thursday to 19 o'clock. Currently, only members of the Pokemon Secret Club can obtain Necrozma of different color. Join Pokemon Secret Club to show off your Necrozma of different colors to everyone. Now, if you don't know what Secret Club is, it's a thing they rolled out a couple months ago. You can get it at Pokemon Centers in Japan. I think you can also get it at 7-Eleven, because what can't you get at 7-Eleven?
You can get everything at 7-Eleven, not an American 7-Eleven.
Not in America, but I think it's like maybe $8 to join. It's like a little, it's literally like a Sam's Club membership or something. You buy it, and then the only thing you can do so far, I have a Secret Club. Again, thank you to Andrew from Japan for sending me the Secret Club stuff. You can register to win a free keychain, and there's been like three different like polls you can vote in. Like, do you nickname your Pokemon or not? Do you like to breed or catch? There's like literally that's all you can do. I don't think it's 100% running out to find somebody in Japan to spend $8 to get this. Now, you will be able to get Shiny Necrozma early through Secret Club, but they, I believe, there's been something saying that Necrozma will come after Shiny Solgaleo and Shiny Lunala, which Will and them talked about last week. So it says specifically here, you will get it early. So I'm sure it will come to everyone eventually. Secret Club.
The most secret of clubs.
Okay, let's talk about Pokemon Masters.
All right.
Oh, this is actually news. Pokemon Masters passed 10 million downloads in like 4 days.
They sure did. And they still got a 2-star review from me.
Four days, 10 million downloads. So that's a lot of people playing. That is not anywhere near Pokemon Go numbers. The free-to-play game released on August 29th, Masters is tracking much better than the 2018 mobile game Pokemon Quest. It took less than 7 months for Pokemon Quest to reach 10 million installs, according to a mobile market analyst at Sensory Tower. Quest was available on Switch. Masters is only on mobile. Sensory also noted that Masters has made $10 million in revenue in those first 4 days. So not only did they download 10 million, not only did they reach 10 million downloads in 4 days, but they've made a dollar per person who have downloaded it. Let me tell you right now, they didn't get a dollar from me. Did they get your money?
They did not.
Oh.
And they won't. Because their pricing structure and the way they run their gems is so deeply offensive to me. It is unbelievable how ridiculous and predatory their pricing structure is, and I'm enraged about it, and they will not get money from me because it's so bad.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, no, okay. So, you want me to get into it?
Let's talk about what you like about it.
Here's the things I like. The game actually is fun. Like, the real-time strategy, like, if you ever played Final Fantasy real-time strategies back in the game where you had a timer counter. Like, you keep track of the timer counter and then moves become available based off of how much energy they cost. The game has a pretty deep strategy as far as what sync pairs you're going to take. So every battle has two that you need to have because they're going to be effective against the Pokemon that you are fighting. And then the third you want to pick really for what support they're going to bring. So everybody has a different support and some only affect themselves. So if you're going to bring a support character, you want to look at who you have and what support they can do for everybody. And some are a lot better than others. Like, Rosa is really good as Rosa and Snivy. They're like solid because you can unlock the ability to suddenly fill your energy meter, which is vital in a lot of the battles to be able to fire off a bunch of attacks immediately to overpower your opponents, because the opponents have a lot more health and a lot more defense than you do, which is part of their payment scheme to level up, because you hit brick walls pretty fast if you don't use like the leveling journals and all the unlock sodas and all the things to try to level up and enhance. And like,
you can just do the same battles over and over again, though.
You can, with diminishing returns. The first time you get a lot, and then every time after that, it's slightly less. And they, like, their auto battling system is not good.
Oh, like, that was one of my complaints. The auto battle is nowhere, not even close to being good.
No, it's not good. So if you want to quickly go through, like, if you want to, like, I'm going to just grind this out to get levels, you can't because the auto battling isn't bad. So what you're ending up doing is you're grinding out to get the training journals on the on those, like the easy one, and where you just bring in, you know, you're already leveled up things to just, so there's no possible way you can lose, and you just let it auto battle that way. There's no skipping, but they have captured every character's personality really well. Like,
yes,
everybody feels alive, everybody feels very active, interacting with them is fun. There's a lot of talking, but at least you can speed it up so that it, you know, it all comes into one lump instead of like being spelled out. So you do have some control there. The plot line is not that interesting, but everybody feels unique. They all bring something unique to the table, but like all of the gacha games, like there are clearly ones that are very superior, and then there are ones that just aren't. So you sort of feel like these people are a waste. Even though I might like this pair, it's going to take so much investment to make them worthwhile using. That sort of like is a frustrating aspect of it. All the sync pairs feel good. You don't have to stay as yourself in Pikachu. You can bring any three people, so you can bring whatever team you want. There is some strategy to it, which is, you know, interesting. As I'm getting more into the game, I really have to think about who my third pair is, who that third person is, what they can bring, and how long they can last. And then what is their support ability, because support is very important. Like, there's actually a reason to use the X items in this game, because it makes a huge difference. All the areas feel unique. That's, you know, all the interactions are gorgeous. Like, it's well animated. So from a gameplay standpoint and from an art standpoint, I like the game. And I'm still paying it. But from a money and rewarding your time standpoint, this is why I gave them a 2-star review.
And you've played many hero collecting games before.
Yes, I have played a lot of them. And I'm going to say that this one is worse than Fire Emblem Heroes was at the beginning.
Oh, wow. I heard the game had voice acting in it, and I never really thought that, like, I cared about voice acting in a Pokemon game. I don't think that, like, if Game Freak, if we're talking about, like, main series Pokemon games, if, like, Game Freak took the time to add voice acting, I don't think that would sell more copies. Right. Nor do I think, like, and I also believe that would be extremely difficult. I mean, they could just do Japanese and English, but that's still like a lot of audio to get localized and processed and would add time to a game and stuff. So I don't think that was ever a selling point, but I didn't think when somebody was like, do you want Pokemon to have voice acting? I didn't think like little quips would be good enough. Whereas like
they don't say much.
They don't say the whole paragraph, but there's something about how they go, let's go. Like the little things they say when you click on them just add so much more character to the characters.
Well, one thing they did is they made even those little things feel unique to each character. So you're like, oh, okay, that whoever they got to do their acting, you know, portrayed the various things very well. I mean, ultimately, I've turned off the volume because I don't play games with volume on because I'm usually at work on lunch break and I don't need my coworkers hearing, let's go. Great. Here comes an earthquake.
Okay.
So
you got it.
And they don't need to hear the music because the music tends to drive me crazy.
Oh, I actually like the music in the game a lot.
The music's very good, but I can only do it for so long.
I am not a huge fan of character collection games, mostly because I couldn't put my finger on why I didn't like it, but now I put my finger on why I didn't like it. So with Fire Emblem, I liked the gameplay of Fire Emblem. I thought the little strategic battles, the turn-based things, were fun. And as somebody who has liked that those kind of games in the past, I've realized that they're very time consuming games, and I'll take the smaller puzzles over the bigger puzzles pretty much any time right now. But I knew zero Fire Emblem characters, and so like I didn't really care who I got.
Yes.
But because I know all of these characters, when I started getting my sync pair scouts and I started getting like Janine or Lieutenant Surge or Winona, I was like, man, these are I like these people.
Yeah.
And then now I realize why I don't like these games, because the characters I like are not good.
Right.
I like Janine a lot and she's 3 stars. I like Maylene a lot. She's 3 stars. I think I don't love Ramos, but when Ramos started talking and I was like, oh, I could do a grass Pokemon. That's cool. Like, Ramos is a cute old man. Also 3 stars. And when I talk to other people or I see people on Twitter posting their teams, it's like the same teams. It's like Rosa, Phoebe.
Yep. Yep.
And Olivia or Karen. It's like everyone is literally using the same team because it's 5 stars. And to me, that's where the frustration comes in of these character collection games. Is like, I guess I could use Janine and I can use Ramos and I could use Misty because the game's not stopping me from using them. But then I can't help but think I'm wasting my time or I'm making it harder for myself because I'm not using optimal characters. Why would I?
And you
why would I not use Rosa? She's 5 star. Why would I not use Lorelei? She's 4. Why would I not use Agatha? Like, these are, I'm just looking at the characters I have.
So, like, Rosa has one of the best abilities, is filling the movement bar, and she can do it twice. Like, that is how I've gotten through some of the higher stages. And this is why I am super mad about their gem structure. And why I won't recommend this game for people, because you feel having 3 stars more in this game than you do in any other game. And in most gacha games, a 10 summon will guarantee you 1 4-star. And almost all of them, it's like you'll get a random assortment of whatever, but one will at least be a 4-star or higher, because that's sort of the reward for waiting until you have 3,000 gems. This game does not do that for free gems.
Yeah, can we talk about the gems real quick?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so I'm going to go to the shop real quick. Sync pair scouts. So,
yep.
I think this is garbage.
This is garbage. This is absolute garbage. This makes me angry.
So if it gives you 1,000 gems for signing up the first week, and then it gives you like 200 gems a day when you sign in, and then you can earn gems the first time you complete missions. And I think I think the animations for the missions and everything, I think they're good. When you get to the first bad team, like, their mask animation is really cool.
Yeah, the mask animation is really great. The team is forgettable, but that animation of the mask is, like, outstanding.
So if you look at Sync Pair Scout, it tells you right now that blue is available, which is, I'm sure people love blue. I'm sure people love red more, but...
Well, blue is available at a 7% call rate, which is upped from 1%.
Yes. I do think, though, that, like, 1% is pretty good, but I
1% is good. It's not, well, but also, they only have 40 pairs in the game.
That's true. Also, I do like how they tell you what your rate is.
Yeah. Well, every game tells you what the rate is.
I didn't think Fire Emblem does that. Did.
Yeah, it does. It does.
So, Sync Pair Scout, so pulling one character anywhere between 3, this is also garbage. Oh, sorry, I keep pulling on the negatives. There's no 1 or 2 stars. It's just 3, 4, and 5.
No, it's just 3, 4, and 5.
Whatever. I'm sure there's, like, some, like, logic of...
Well, it's because it matches all the other games, right? So, where other games, like Fire Emblem, you get a 1 star and two star, and you'd be like, oh, what a waste. This feels like, oh, I always get 3 stars, and that's sort of, like, masking the fact.
Yeah, but once you realize there's no 1 and 2 stars, it's...
Once you sort of dig into it and it unravels, it's like, all right, listen, we got issues.
Okay, so a sync pair scout is 300. Sync pair scout times 10, 3,000. So no discount.
So no discount and no guarantee.
And then
that's problem one.
So 300 gems, 3,000 gems, daily discount. You can do this once a day, 100 gems. And then.
But what's the catch?
We'll get to that. And then if you go to the second page, there's one time guaranteed. It's not once a day. It's like one time ever, right?
One time. Once.
Ever. is 3,000, guaranteed a 5-star, which is like Chris, Phoebe, the Houndoom, Karen.
Karen, which everybody has.
And Olivia, I think.
Yeah.
And Brendan.
I got Phoebe today, just through a random book, because I won't give them my money.
And so but that is also 3,000. So they give you 1,000 when you start. You get 200 on day one. You get a bunch for doing the first couple missions. So realistically, if you're playing this game and not digging into it or looking at everything, you go, well, I'll just save my 3,000 for
the one. The guaranteed sink, 5-star. The one
guaranteed, because of how generous they are with gems at the beginning, you can get that in a week. And as soon as you click on it, and if you're not reading or paying attention, they say that there's a difference between gems, non-paid and paid.
Paid. Non-paid and paid. So the 100 discount and the 5-star guarantee are only paid gems.
Only if you give the money can you do this. And I have such a huge problem with this.
Not only that. The pricing structure is outrageous. So in the first 26 days, they have a discounted rate. So to be able to pull that 3,000 guaranteed 5-star, it's $21.99 discounted. Discounted. Normally to do that, after this period ends, it's $28.99. This is gouging. This is worse than any of the other gacha games I have ever played. And when you have a game like Dragalia Lost that you can give them $20, get enough gems to summon, and a guaranteed 5-star ticket, and that's just there, and it doesn't expire because it's your welcome pack, like, to come into this pricing structure, after this is over, 6,400 gems, 6,400 gems is $54.99. That is 2 10 pulls, but only one is going to be guaranteed a 5-star. So that is 2 10s, one which will be just the random, probably all 3-stars. It is criminal. I mean, these prices are, not only are they ridiculous, but the fact that you only get discounts and dare guaranteed by giving them money, and they're asking for money for what a full game would be. Like, $20. I don't pay $20 for any mobile game, much less one that has a limited amount of sync pairs and no guarantees. I mean, straight up 2 stars. Like, I will not recommend this to people. Like, you can play it, but don't give them money. This is, I went in there and I'm like, okay, I have 3,000 gems, so I can't do the paid thing, but surely there's some guarantee when I do the 10, because why else would you save up for 10?
Why is there no discount for the 10?
There's no discount. There's no guarantee. There's nothing. You just get to pull 10 times. So don't save up. If you're not going to give them money, and you absolutely should not give them money for this, because this is ridiculous pricing.
My other problem with it, sorry, is they list it. I don't know what the word is for this bad, predatory. Where
it's predatory.
Where they
it
list
is absolutely predatory
both as gems. I don't mind two different currencies. But why name one gems and one diamonds or something?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, why? They're sort of like, well, it's clearly yellow and it says paid in very small letters next to the sync pair, which is like just this constant sort of dig in your brain. Like, oh, so there's the special one, the brightly colored one that I'm attracted to, but I can't access unless I absolutely give you money, and only once will you guarantee me a 5-star.
And what I
only once
also don't understand is there's if you do not give them money, you will never ever get advantage of the daily 100.
Correct.
And or the guaranteed 5-star, where like other mobile Correct. Games. Okay, so like let's look at Clash Royale. We both play a lot of Clash Royale. There's two currencies
in
that
game. Way too much. Yep.
There's gems and there's coins.
Yep.
And you can earn both, but the thing you earn the most is coins. Earning gems is like, oh man, I got 2 gems for today. An emote is 250 gems, but eventually you get there, right?
Yeah, eventually you get
2 gems here, 5 gems here. Maybe your clan did really good and you got like 7 gems for the week.
Yeah.
Now you can turn gems into gold. I could spend 60 gems and get 1,000 gold, and I can buy 80 gems for 99 cents. But there is a way to slowly earn this currency.
Yeah.
And or just straight up buy it. And then also turn that currency into the other currency, which is a lot of what mobile games do. But there's not even any possibility of that in Masters. It's either pay us or you don't. And
or if you don't,
you get zero benefit of saving your gems.
Right.
There's no reason to ever save the 10 at all.
And if you, like, the game difficulty does spike. Like, I've had to spend a lot of time finding good pairs and then spending resources and or time because I can't do auto battles because the auto battles can't be trusted to get them above the level of what the next thing is. And now granted, in the storyline, like the gym leader that you defeated or whatever bad guy or new partner that you defeated, like there's a million people in this game. Like, they generally give you the person that you're going to need, the type that you're going to need in the next story arc, but that person isn't necessarily leveled to be able to do that well. And the other thing that they do is all sync pairs that you get from syncs are at level 1. So if you get a good 5-star and you're late in the game, you are spending a lot of time or resources to get them up to level 30, level 40, so that they are usable in those areas. Because a level 1 will be knocked out, and then you are down 1, and being down 1 is a tremendous disadvantage in this game. You really need to have all 3 alive for the entirety of the game, or at least through 70% of the battle until you are able to turn the tide enough that you have the upper hand even if somebody goes down. And so when you get these 5 stars or 3 stars from the sync pair, you have to invest a bunch into getting them up to that level or give them money to buy the training manuals in the exchange market, which the exchange market is a absolute nightmare. it's just so poorly laid out.
I do know that you can take, I think if you get like 5 of the same person, it changes it from like 3 to 4 star.
Yeah, so there's a way to, there is a mechanic in the game to upgrade somebody from a 3-star to a 4-star, or 4-star to a 5-star. There are promotions in all the games. Like, that exists in all the games. But part of it seems to be if you pull them multiple times, do they go up in level? So you'd have to get 5 multiples of a single one to bring it up. And again, unless you give them money, there's no guarantee that you're going to get another 5-star. So leveling your 5-stars up and advancing them that method to get them to the best link, is it going to be a random shot in the dark? Evolution stones cost coins, which you have to earn. So I evolved a couple Pokemon in the game, and it's fairly interesting how they do it, but you do have to have an item that you have to pay for with in-game currency to be able to do that. And so there's a lot of these. You've brought this up a bunch of times, and it is accurate. There are games that respect you and reward you for your time, and there are games that don't. And this game doesn't really respect your time. If you save up 3,000, it's like, good job. Here's 10 randos. You get no guarantees. You get nothing. But
you wasted your time saving up for 10. Like, there's no...
And you've wasted your time. There's no benefit. And FYI, the person that was willing to pay $99 could get a guaranteed 5-star and then a bunch of pulls. Oh, and doesn't even have to pull. Like, doesn't have to go to the 10 anymore, because you would just do the daily discount of 100. Because you're going to get the same shot no matter what. So just do the discounted one every day. and you're going to be ahead because you paid money. It is a bald face. Hey, pay money and you will be ahead in this game. And I can't abide by it. I can't. It is so predatory because it has the Pokemon name, and so disrespectful because it's got the Pokemon name, that it thinks that, hey, we don't, you know, people will pay this anyways because, you know, 10 million people downloaded it. And whatever money we get is the money we get. And it's just, it's straight up, like the day that I saved up my 3,000, did my poll, and realized that there was no guarantee is the day, the first time, and this is the honest truth, the first time I have ever gone into an app and rated the app at less than 5 stars. Because I only rate things that I really like. Like, I feel like, you know, 5 stars, if I like it, I'll give it 5 stars so other people find it. If I don't like it, whatever. I won't rate it. They'll not get a lot of ratings. I'm not going to say anything. This is the first time that I'm like, nope, I'm going to give them absolutely 2 stars and absolutely warn everybody that this is predatory and outrageous, that their pricing structure is out of the norm, and that they don't respect the time that you put in the game. And it's unacceptable because you can tell that they put so much care in the animations and the characters. They put a lot of love in it and then tacked this atrocity on top that will ruin the game for a lot of people. Because once you get into co-op, you're going to be like, hey, do you have 5 stars? And if not, then this isn't going to work. We can't get past this. Because you have to put in money so you're guaranteed at least one of them to be a 5-star, and then you have to put the money in to raise it so that we can get past these co-op things. And it's super frustrating. And like, the blue event is fun, but you don't get blue at the end. Like, you get some new items once you unlock co-op mode, which you again have to go into their awful market to try to spend. And it's just like, this is exactly the mistake that Fire Emblem Heroes did at the beginning. And this is like doubling down on that and worse. And I cannot respect them for this. And I cannot tell people to download this game. If you want a fun game to play on the side and you're just like, I'm just going to accept what I want and it takes whatever time it takes, and I'll just play it for, you know, I'll just do one little mission a day. It would take me about 15 minutes and then I can put it aside. Great. It's fun at that point. But if you want to try to get ahead, no, don't. Just don't.
Well, Fire Emblem lowered their prices at one point, right?
They did, like a year into the game.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem giving mobile games money, especially
I don't either. I mean, I do, like, I don't like it, but like, when I saw that it was paid, I'm like, oh, well, how bad can it be? Like, you know, they're running some special discounts. You know, maybe I'll pay $30 for like 10,000 gems or whatever.
Well, like,
and
I think Pokemon Quest was worth the $32 or whatever. Like, Pokemon Quest felt like you could play through the whole game without spending money. But I think like the $32 felt like, okay, I got a complete game from start to finish. Which is, you know, probably why they did that, because I think if they put that game on Target's shelves or Walmart shelves for $35, $40, I don't think anyone would have bought it. I think people would have been like, this looks like a ripoff Pokemon Minecraft, not interested in that, and I think sales would have done well. I think what they did for Quest was great. I think Magikarp Jump was, I think I did the special, you know, early first day $5 thing, and I felt like I could have gave that game $20, and that was, I don't think I did, I think I only gave it $5, but like the amount of time I played Magikarp Jump, I think it was probably would have been like a $20 game. You know, Pokemon Go, I've played for what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
I think I've given it, I want to say maybe $300 total, maybe $400. But I do truly think of Pokemon Go as a, in the sense of an MMO, because I do play it every day. It is constantly changing every single week, just like an MMO would be. Granted, I mean, it's no World of Warcraft, it's no Final Fantasy, but I do think of Pokemon Go as like, this is a game I spend $10 a month on, just like I would spend $15 a month on for World of Warcraft. And I think that is fine and acceptable because it is a daily constant in my life.
And the pricing structure in Go feels right. You know, like you aren't necessarily paying to win in Go. You are paying to be able to do things with your friends, much like an MMO. The cost over time might be a lot, but it's not required. It's not necessary. You know, I get grumpy when you make me buy raid passes, but like I'm doing that so I can do things with my friends, and it's, you know, it's like, as much as I complain, I like doing it. I like enjoying it. So like that feels like I'm getting a lot for, I'm getting the, what I'm putting in, I'm getting out in good value. And that is just not happening in Masters.
There's a lot of things I like about Masters.
There, I mean, I'm still playing it. I like the game.
Still playing it too. I think I've gotten to the point where I'm very comfortable with not putting money in it. And I think once I haven't hit that grind yet. I haven't hit it where it feels like, oh my gosh, I can't do this anymore. Like
you will.
I'm sure I will. The reason why I'm not like I went the well one I'm I was traveling, but the reason I haven't gone hog ham into it yet is because it is missing a lot of characters that I personally wanted to play with. I wanted to play with N. I wanted to play with Hugh. I don't have Kahili yet, although I do think she's in the game.
Yeah.
And
like I'm trying to get Gardenia so I can get my Roserade, but again, there's no guarantee that when I get that pair is going to be good and usable, right? Like I may get a pair that I like, but that's not saying that I could actually use them in the game because of the way the game is structured.
Also, I mean, again, comparing it to Clash Royale, it is a little shocking to me that this game doesn't have like a PvP or a ladder. Maybe one day it will, but like it seems like a very Clash Royale setup where you pick three things. They pick. I mean, Clash Royale is the same in the sense of like, well, when that game came out, you only had like 20 cards, not the 80 cards or something they have now. But you have 20 cards. You pick your 8 favorite cards. You put gold into them to level them up. Sometimes you'll face somebody who has clearly put a lot of money into the game and you lose, but most of the time you get placed against somebody who has the same ranking as you, and you either go up and you go down or you win rewards if you go up. I'm very shocked that Masters doesn't have that, because that's what it feels like the end game of that should be. I totally understand that there's a story that they want to focus on, which is very cool. That's not a complaint, but I do also understand that story's not finished. But it is also like the people who have completed the game. I know a handful who completed the game in like 2 days because they just kept playing it. And there's no like timer cap like Quest had.
No.
And at this point, they're just getting sync pairs to level 100 and just kind of waiting and just kind of continuing to pull. And that seems very weird.
It's not good. Like Kahili is in the game, a 4-star with 2 cannon, and you have a 1.111% chance of pulling it.
Same odds as finding a cast form in Pokemon Black 2.
Good luck.
1%. When people ask if it's like a bad game, I don't.
It's
hard. It's
game.
Hard to say. Like it's not a bad game. It's just
a fun game that they ruined with predatory pricing.
And I don't. And to be clear, I don't feel like a lot of mobile games have like bad pricing. Like I honestly don't think Pokemon Go's pricing is bad.
You can argue a lot about pricing, but you sort of have to compare. If I put, like, would I pay $28.99 for this game for a 3DS, and understanding that I would, when I bought the game, only get a random 10 pairs? Would I pay $28.99 to get 10 random pairs, buying it off the shelf? And that's the baseline, because it is the price of a 3DS game on your mobile phone. And the answer is no. Like since you aren't getting everybody in the game and you're paying as much as a regular game, that pricing isn't viable. It isn't in line with what the market is, what is expected around that, like, and they have not hinted or shown that they will be expanding it. I mean, they probably will, but there's no hint of what the plan is or how many they're going to add or what that looks like. So right now you're paying the cost of a 3DS game to get 10 pairs, and you, if you wanted to try to get everybody, given that it's random, even if you pulled different ones every time, you would have to make 40 pulls in hopes that you got all 40 people, and that is $100 for that game? And that's provided you buy the special pricing in the first 26 days. That's ridiculous. This isn't a $100 game to get everybody. It's not even a $28 game to get everybody. And that's the problem. Like, since they don't give you guarantees, since they don't reward your time, and they barely reward your pricing, it's... I'm so mad at it, because I really, really wanted to love this game. And so much of the game I love. But the minute I go to try to pull something, I'm reminded of how bad it is. And then I literally put the game aside, and I'm like, I just need to walk away from it for a bit and then sort of come to terms with how bad and predatory the pricing is, and then come back to it.
Very curious of what happens when this game has double the amount of characters. Like, do they start removing characters? Do they like, okay, this season you can't ever pull a Janine? Or do they change it to like, oh, Janine's 2% and I have 4 of her. I just need one more. Okay. Now there's, we added Hugh. We added all these other people. So now Jean's pull percent is 0.5%. So dang, I was so close. I just needed one more Janine, and, I guess I'll never get that. Like, I can't imagine what happens when more and more characters are added. And if you are actually trying to collect other characters because you care about them, do they percentages go up? Do they go into a different box? It seems like there was no long-term plan for this game. It seems like,
no,
we're gonna put this out, we're gonna get all our money, we're gonna put out the rest of our characters, we're gonna maybe finish the story, and then we're done. I'm curious now in retrospect what the long plan for Pokemon Duel was, because that also didn't have a finished story, and they also changed last minute from having microtransactions to like a monthly membership on top of microtransactions, and you can see that didn't pan out well. Although the big difference between Duel and Masters is I don't feel like I'm playing a menu game with Masters.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll take a break.
Yeah, I gotta calm down. I'm worked up. Let's talk about happy things after this.
We're gonna talk about like the 2-minute trailer that was the Sword and Shield stuff. And that should be the most of our episode, so we will be right back.
See, wearing a hoodie right now as well, but well, it's one of those ones with the zip. Do you call them a hoodie or do you call them a zippy? Zip, 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 zippy. Zippy. Zip, 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 zippy.
Oh, they also use the wrong word for sweater, too.
Have you all heard of the term zippy? Zippy. Zip, 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 zippy, zippy. One of those ones with the zip. Zippy, zippy. One of those ones with the zip. The zip, the zip. Pizza.
All right, we are back. This afternoon, there was a Nintendo Direct. They showed Pokemon. It is probably 4 days later. What, Wednesday to Sunday? I don't know when this podcast comes out. I'll read the press release, though. Pokemon Camp revealed in Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. The Pokemon Company International and Nintendo revealed today about the Pokemon Cap featured in the highly anticipated upcoming Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield video games, where trainers and their Pokemon can spend quality time together. New Pokemon of the Galar region, information about character customization, and details regarding surprise trade were also revealed. Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield will launch on November 15th, exclusively on the Nintendo Switch. We'll get to the new Pokemon here in a little bit. Let's talk about Pokemon Camp, since the Direct wanted to focus on 4 things. New Pokemon, Pokemon Camp, character customization, and remember what the first one was. There's an order there somewhere. something else. Pokemon Camp is... I'll read the press release. Trainers can enjoy a moment of relaxation and fun with the Pokemon in their party through Pokemon Camp. When trainers watch their Pokemon as they have fun camping and playing together, they might discover a new side of them that they normally don't get to see. Trainers will get to know their Pokemon better by playing with them with a Pokemon toy or a variety of bouncing balls. In Pokemon Camp, trainers will be able to cook curry. Oh, curry was the other thing.
Yeah, curry.
A popular dish in the Galar region. Trainers will create a variety of curries depending on which berries and other ingredients they can choose. Players can use the need to fan the flames until they are strong enough for the curry and then stir it just right to make the best batch. Once the curry is done cooking, both the trainer and the Pokemon can enjoy it together. There are many types of curries, so trainers can try to cook them to complete their curry decks. Ah, the curry decks. Doesn't say this in the press release, but I believe they just copied and pasted that from the 3DS.
Well, from Cooking Mama.
Well, yeah, just a lot of copy and pasting, I believe, between the 3DS.
Like, it's really easy to take an entire... Well, actually, they just copy and pasted it from Breath of the Wild. They just named all the food from Breath of the Wild curry and said, here's your curry decks.
Just so, cookbook. So much copy and paste. Pokemon Camp is... Oh, I do like the, like... No national decks, but full curry decks. I do like those. I think they're funny.
full curry decks.
They make me laugh. Pokemon Camp is also a way for trainers to connect with other players in the wild area. Trainers can join a camp of another player or have other players visit their camp until a total of four players are gathered. Together, they can interact with Pokemon and even make curry. If a player comes across a tank while using local communication or connected through the internet, it's a sign that another player has set up their Pokemon camp there. A Nintendo Switch Online membership is required for the internet, not required for local. I think we brought up Pokemon Camp before in passing, probably very quickly. It was something rumored. This seems, based on the playing with Pokemon and whatnot, this seems to be the replacement to Pokemon Refresh or Pokemon Ami.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
During the animation talk, I think this was part of that, because while a lot of people were focused on the fact that double kick animation looked the same or volt tackle looked the same, there was no footage of Pokemon Camp or Pokemon Refresh, which in this case, again, if you're still upset or you're still... not happy with the animation excuse. Animations just didn't apply to battle. Like, they have to animate these Pokemon walking in the world. They have to animate these Pokemon playing with these Poke toys or playing with these Pokeballs or playing with each other that we haven't really seen before. Especially in the Pokemon Refresh, you can look at a Palkia, you can look at a Gorgeist and interact with them. But now we're seeing... Well, I guess we didn't see Gorgeist, but for example, we saw like a Grookey and a Scorbunny playing together. We saw Flareon and Vaporeon playing together. These are ideally new animations or something that had to be designed from scratch to make happen. Whether or not that's good enough for you, that's on you. I'm just pointing out that like this is definitely a step up and an advancement in Pokemon and Me and Pokemon Refresh.
Yeah, and like the fact that you can visit other people's camps and like that being pulled in is like being pulled into their camp and like the data and you know what they have at their camp and who they brought in there. Like, there's a lot that has gone into this game, and like we are still months out from this game, and like we are just beginning to get hints of what they've put into this game. So. You know, it's not going to change anybody's mind. Like, really, we can talk about it all we want. Like, people who are mad are going to stay mad and think whatever they want. But I think Camp is a good alternative to having that lower screen for Pokemon Ami and Pokemon Refresh. Like, you have to go into a specific area, and then you can do that in there. Like, there wasn't going to be a good way on a non-two-screen device. Yeah. To take care of that. So I think the fact that not only do you have camp, but you can go to other people's camps and there's a lot of interaction and you're not limited to just one Pokemon. There are all of the ones that are in your camp there that you can interact with. It fits with the game and looks interesting. And I'm not sure why you always have to make curry, but like,
hey,
all right.
Do you think the Curry minigame is like the replacement to the beauty contests or the make a movie or the...
It feels like a replacement to Poffins, really. Poffins and maybe even hyper training. Like, since there are so many difference... What did they say? There's like... What did they say? Like, 90? Did they say 90 curries? I'm making that up. I'm making that up. There's a lot. I'm trying to see if it's on the webpage.
It's not in the press release.
Okay. I don't remember. Anyways, there's a lot of them, and I'm imagining that it will be what replaces, like, you know, beauty for, like, evolving certain Pokemon and fullness, and maybe even will affect stats. Like, there's a lot that they could add on to this, especially since they're giving so many types and so many things. Like, there's a full Curry Dex, for crying out loud.
It seems cool. I wasn't super into Pokemon and Me, but I thought Pokemon Refresh was a bit better.
Yeah.
It's obviously not going to appeal to everyone, just like competitive battling doesn't appeal to everyone. Completing the Pokedex doesn't appeal to everyone. I think, though, it's like a weird thing to remove at this point. I think that they've really have established over the years that there are a group of players that want that Pokemon interaction. They care specifically about the Pokemon, not necessarily maybe the battles.
Yeah, and it's clear that they had to do something for Sylveon. I mean, and they're pointing out in the pictures, hey, look, here's Sylveon. So there is a way to get Sylveon in this
game.
Well,
I mean, they had to change Milotic, too. It was Beauty at one point. Now it's like trade with Prism Scale.
But and it does go back to Beauty if Beauty is a function of that game. So they could add Beauty back to this game if the Curry affects like Beauty. If Curry affects those stats in the same way, like if a Beauty stat is hidden in there, like you just have to feed it 15 cute Curries or whatever. I mean, they could go back to that. It's hard to say, but it was clear that they had to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is cute. Like, it's cute. I like it.
The character customization was big here. Explore Galar in style. As trainers travel through the Galar region, they come across boutiques and hair salons. By visiting them, they can change clothes, even hairstyle.
And trainers... get rid of that giant backpack. The first thing I'm buying is a smaller backpack.
Trainers will be able to choose many different clothing, clothing items, hairstyles, even makeup options as they explore Galar in style. I did go through both the Japanese and the American videos. Because they did show different, slightly different clothes.
The clothes look good.
The girls have an option for a dress, where the boys do not.
Boom.
And the girls have an option for makeup, where the boys do not. Now, the only reason I'm bringing that up is because it does not seem like there is opportunity for you to wear the girls' clothes or the girls to wear the boys' clothes. Now that is for something I don't really expect from a Japanese developer since they're a little bit behind on the times. I want to say there was a game recently that you could wear any clothes.
Yeah, I think one of them did.
I don't particularly care, although I was annoyed in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon that the Komo-O set was, like, exclusively a boy set, even though, like, I'm sure there are plenty of girl trainers that really liked Komo-O. Was it Komo-O? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the girl set was Nurse Joy, and I thought the Nurse Joy set was, like, wait, boys can be nurses? Why can't I just have a boy Nurse Joy outfit? So, it's not necessarily that I want to wear a dress as a boy trainer, although I'm sure somebody out there will, and that's cool, but it's like when it gets to like exclusive outfits like that, I think it's kind of weird to be like, I don't like how is Komo-O specifically boy and how is like a nurse specifically girl? Like, I
feel like if you're gonna have a kilt in any game, should be this one.
Yeah, probably.
I mean. You should have that option. New hairstyles, the hairstylists look great. Like the picture they showed of the hairstylist person, I'm like, dang, they got style.
All the clothes look incredible. I think the hairstyles look good. I think the character themselves look really great. I recently played through X and Y, and I cannot stand that in that game, you have like a chibi overworld sprite that looks really cool and really great. I actually like the way the not the sprite, but the 3D model of the character looks. But then when you go into a mirror, you have this like really lank, different. Like lanky dude. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, like what happened here? Why?
Yeah, it's weird. But like the Pikachu, the pink Pikachu sweater, I think is a must buy for me. That's on the website. They have a lot of really cute, like Pokemon branded clothes, like T-shirts and stuff. Which, like, just go to the website and look at the clothing options because it's clear that they're putting a lot of thought into them, and they look. Very good. The only thing that's still bothering me is these giant backpacks that all the boys have. Please give me a messenger back. I don't want this giant trunk on my back.
The other thing you can customize is your League card.
Yeah, that was like out of the blue.
This is a very Monster Hunter thing. I'm sure other games do it, but it's like something that Monster Hunter loves to do. They call them guild cards, though. Pokemon in the Galar region can make league cards for themselves. These cards provide detailed information about trainers and are traded or given out across the region. Players can use the card maker function in the Rotami to be able to customize their cards. The card maker will enable players to edit the background, the frame, and much more to make their own league animation cards, own unique league cards.
Yep.
League cards received from other trainers will be reviewed in the player's album. What they don't include here, what you see in the trailer, both Japanese and the English trailer, is that you can customize your character's pose and the expression on your character's face. So,
yep. And you can get a signed Leon card, according to the webpage.
I am sure other games have this, but it is a thing that has always been in Monster Hunter games, where you get a guild card. On that card, it shows your character, what if you're in a squad. It usually has, like, if it was on 3DS, it would have your friend code. You could change the background. If you killed a certain monster that was like high rank, you might get an exclusive guild card that you could equip. You could change your hunter pose, have your Poogie on there. And then those things were exchanged between hunters. So if you went on a hunt and you liked that person, you would exchange guild cards and stuff. So I'm sure other games have something like this.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's just a nice extension of the trainer card that's been in all the games, but now you can actually customize it, and that's cool. I like it. It's little things like that that give Galar more flavor. And, like, you know, if it's only is in Galar, that's cool, because it seems to fit with the sort of sports trading card thing they have going here. So I like it.
It also seems like the thing that's being previewed for battles. Like, your card shows up for the card versus card before the battle starts, which is just another extension of customization.
Yeah. It's just cute. And the numbers on there. Note,
there are numbers on those cards,
which is Pokemon Day.
Connect with players using surprise trades. In Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, trainers can use the Y-com to do things like engage in link or trade battles. Another feature of the Y-com menu is surprise trade. The players will just need to select the Pokemon from their boxes that they're willing to trade, and a trading partner will automatically be found as they continue their adventure. These trades can be carried out from players around the world by using the internet or through local communication with somebody around them. I actually think that part is cool.
Yeah.
Trainers won't know what they got until they won't know what Pokemon they'll get in their exchange until they actually receive it. And Nintendo Switch Online membership is required for both link trades and trade battles. But if you're doing it locally, a membership is not required. Now, this is pretty much Wonder Trade. They renamed it. Maybe because Wonder Trade has a bad name. I don't know.
Wonder Trade was like specific. I forget why it was called Wonder Trade, so.
Well, it's doing the same thing as Wonder Trade, except the main difference here is Wonder Trade, once you started a Wonder Trade, you had to sit there until it found somebody and matched. In this case, you can select Caterpie and then continue on your journey, and eventually, without needing to sit there on a screen for, you know, up to, I don't even know how long somebody would sit on a Wonder Trade, maybe 120 seconds, maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You can continue playing and not really think about it.
Yeah, it's like a It's like a weird extension of the GTS, but like you just put anything up and you get something back. Like GTS, you could leave and then had to come back and check.
With
surprise trade is like a weird combo between the two.
With how hackable Let's Go has been, I'm sure we'll get plenty of shiny. I'm assuming.
Look,
Mazenta and Zacian will be locked.
If I don't have my shiny Hoopa named PokemonTrades.com,
that's probably
I'm not
a
playing
real
a Pokemon
website.
Game.
Whatever. I think the local is very interesting.
The local is cool. Like for meetups or like when you go like to Worlds, that like if everybody's just on local trade there, that's super fun.
Yeah. I don't know how much battery that drains or whatnot, but
all of the battery.
The one thing that's
5 minutes of gameplay
that's not here before we get to the new Pokemon. If you actually watch, I want to say it's the Japanese trailer. Ditto is in Camp Pokemon. There's a Ditto moving around.
What?
So your
will breeding be in camp? Will you camp to breed?
Your Ditto has been confirmed.
Like Ditto was going anywhere?
Ah, man, it would have been cool if he wasn't though.
Nah, it would have been terrible. Those of us who breed would have been real mad.
Ah, change breeding.
No.
There's a there's a section about Alcremie.
Who is different.
Alcremie is known as the able to create whipped cream from its hands. There are several variations of color and flavor of this whipped cream, as well as decorations on its body. That's all it says in the press release. In the trailer, you see a green Alcremie.
And on the website.
And on the website.
It's mint.
For whatever reason... on the English website only, if you go under Camp Pokemon, there's two images of Alcremie. I don't know how I discovered this. I was just clicking everywhere on the website trying to figure it out. but if you click on the strawberries on its head, it will actually scroll through other Alcremies, and you'll see there's 16 of them.
Where are you seeing this?
So it's the Pokemon Sword and Shield website.
Oh, mint one, yes.
So if you go right, it goes backwards and forwards depending on what strawberry. So I saw that Serebii reported there were 16, and I was like, where did they get this information? There's one thing that I hate that Joe does.
That, one thing.
Well, there's a couple of things. Joe knows, though. I tell every time I see Joe or talk to Joe, I always got to complain about something to him, and then he always laughs at me and then ignores me, which is fine. That's Joe. But unlike other journalists that exist, Joe never cites his sources. And I can't stand it.
It's true. It's super annoying.
Like, if you're reporting on Pokemon Go, where did you get it from? Did you get it from Pokemon Go Live? Did you get it from the official Niantic website? Did you get it from their Twitter? Did you get it from Pokemon.com? Sometimes Pokemon.com has information before Niantic does. Sometimes Niantic's first. So when he reported that there are 16 Alcremie, I was like, it's not in my press release. It's not on the Japanese trailer. It's not on the English trailer. It's not on the Japanese website, according to Google Translate. It's not on the English website. So I remembered that in the past, they sometimes hide images on the website. They're just hidden. So I opened the Alcremie image, and then I changed one of the numbers. I think it was like picture image underscore 4, and I changed it to image underscore 5, and then nothing came up. And then I changed it to a different number, nothing came up. So I went to the English website to try that. And while I was like clicking on the image to right click, I noticed that it changed from pink to green. I was like, what did I just do? And so I'm like clicking everywhere on the image, and I'm like refreshing the page over and over, and I'm scrolling up and down. And then I realized the two specific spots on. Well, for whatever reason, obviously you can program click maps on an image in a website, that's fine, but I don't know if it was an Easter egg or what, but if you click the little strawberries, they change the images, which I don't, to be fair, I don't know how you cite that.
I don't either.
But it's still like, every journalist should be citing their stuff, and that's why now in the podcast we cite where we get our news from, because we're trying to be as accurate as possible for you guys. But there you go. There's 16 of them. There are 25 Vivillons, I believe.
Vivillon. Yes.
So I don't know if this is like or a choreo where you change it yourself. I don't know if you change it with the curry. I don't know if it's like Minior, where you just catch them in the wild. We don't know if it's like Vivillon, where mint is available in Britain, and the chai is available in Hawaii, and the chocolate is available in Brazil. Like, I don't know if it's regional. We just don't know yet what that is.
For whatever reason, the other forms of El Creamy do not make me feel as weirdly disgusted as the original one. Like, I still get weirded out by the pink and strawberries one, but like this yellow one with blueberries, I'm like, yes, I love you. This yellow one with hearts, I'm like, I love you, El Creamy. I want you. You don't make me feel weird.
The good stuff here.
Yes.
There's still a lot of people speculating or hoping that there will be Eevee evolutions. They went out of their way to show you every single Eevee today. The trailers made sure that you saw all of them. But there was no Eevee evolutions shown. I do think it's a little weird that Niantic decided to make the breakthrough research 2 months of Eevee. Maybe I'm overthinking.
You're
maybe
overthinking.
They just
patterns.
Want Eevee. Pokemon Go is they have announced stuff first, Meltan. but we get two new Pokemon here. We get a Teapot, which I think we've seen in an earlier trailer when Chairman Rose threw out a Pokeball, and there was a Teapot Pokemon, or what looked to be almost like a teapot or an elephant. It was right when they announced Alcremie. But I don't know if that the Pokemon they showed today is that Pokemon that Chairman Rose threw out, but we have Poltegeist.
I love the Pokemon. I do not like that name.
It is the Black Tea Pokemon. It is a pure ghost type. It's 8 inches tall. It's 0.9 pounds. Its ability is weak armor. Poltegeist's body is made from black tea, and it's said to have a very distinctive aroma and flavor. It will only allow the trainer to trust its sample its tea. Although drinking too much of it can lead to indigestion.
You're drinking a ghost!
Poltegeist make their home inside of hotels and restaurants where they disguise themselves among tableware. Because they can pour their power into leftover tea and create even more of their kind, they often are treated as pests. Boy, when they make ghost Pokemon, they really like the ghost possessing objects,
yeah.
Which I'm for. I'm into
for.
That.
This is really cute. Also, if all of you don't name every Poltegeist Mrs. Potts, you are failing at life.
Look, if you do name it Mrs. Potts, think outside of the box.
Nah.
It's like anytime you catch like a Crabrawler or
name it Sebastian.
Kingler, people are like, oh, you gotta name it the Larry from SpongeBob. Or you catch like a Staryu and they're like, oh, you gotta name it Patrick.
You gotta name it Patrick or you're failing.
Gosh, get Smeargle. Look, no one's ever thought of this for Smeargle. What if I named it Bob Ross? Oh my gosh, come on.
Now you gotta name it Picasso, man. Go with the classics.
Outside the box with your names. Poltegeist is cute.
Super cute. I hate the name, but it's super, super cute. I love its little face, his little swirly eyes, and this like smiling like, hey, I've got a chipped teacup hat.
We already know you can drink Miltank's milk, so I guess you can drink Poltegeist's tea.
Tea, and you can mix the two and have a lovely tea latte.
There you go. I can't wait till they DNA digivolve together.
Yeah.
And
become part of the curry decks.
Sure. Now. Wooloo. Wooloo was already yesterday's Pokemon about 10 minutes after it came out.
Yes. Nobody likes Wooloo anymore.
No one liked Wooloo. If you did like Wooloo, you're probably already over it. I know you are. You don't have to lie to yourself. Wooloo is the normal type Pokemon that you'll use for about 5 minutes. you know, throw it away. You already got way too many good Pokemon to put Wooloo on your team. You got Poltegeist. You got Yamper. You got Grookey. You got Corviknight. You got Gossifleur. You got Impidimp. There's so many Pokemon where Wooloo just doesn't make the cut.
No.
But all those Pokemon I just named, they're all getting cut too. Because what you're going to do, fellow listener, is you're going to catch yourself not one, not two, not three. You're going to catch six Cramorants, the greatest Pokemon ever developed, the gulp Pokemon, flying water. Yes, we have a million of those. Pelipper, Swanna, Ducklet, Wingull. It doesn't matter. It's still good. Height, 2'7". That's American. It is 39.7 pounds. Not... watches it die right before 40. It has the ability Gulp Missile, a new ability. Let me tell you, when it comes to food, Cramorant will try to swallow anything it fits in its mouth. Sometimes it will swallow things that aren't intended as its prey, spitting them out once it realizes its mistake. We all make mistakes. We can relate to Cramorant, of course. A Cramorant can be forgetful. We are all forgetful sometimes, but it will never forget its trainer to grow its trust. This is possibly the most... You think dogs are loyal? Holy cow. Cramorant will never forget its trainer. However, its trainers will face fierce attacks from Cramorant if they try to steal its food. Cramorant's ability, Gulp Missile, is a new ability that will be triggered during battles. A Cramorant uses Surf or Dive. Two excellent moves. Not so much Dive. Surf is pretty good.
Dive is pretty good.
It will return with a catch in its mouth. If it takes damage while in this state, Cramorant will retaliate by spitting out its catch at its opponent.
Is this picture?
Possibly.
The picture on the website. I've been hawking up this fish. It's the most incredible picture they've ever put out.
The reason there is no National Dex... I got a phone call from Mr. Reggie. He doesn't work at Nintendo. He has the details on the Pokemon. The reason there's no National Dex is because they knew Cramorant was so good. They put all the development time into this Pokemon. They did not have time to copy and paste before.
Ran out of time because it was all Cramorant.
When people asked me what my favorite Pokemon was, for years I would tell them I can't choose. I can now choose? It is Cramorant. This thing is incredible.
Oh, this thing is the weird. Its eyes. Its horrible blank eyes. And then it's just spitting out this fish missile.
It's so good.
God, it's so funny. It's the greatest.
It is the best Pokemon.
And how do we not have Impidimp yet?
Who cares? Can Impidimp spit fish? I don't think so.
We don't know.
We don't know. It doesn't exist.
Oh, no. The spit picture. It's dead eyes, open mouth, water jet, fish missile picture. It is the funniest thing I have. Like, I fell out of my chair at the gym when it came up on the direct because it's so unexpected. And you're like, okay, so what happens when it surfs or dives? And then it comes up and it's like choking on this fish. And then somebody's like, blah!
Blah! Oh, it's so good.
My God.
I'll include my. I did have a reaction. That I guess my Twitch chat loved. I'll include that in the show notes.
So funny.
If you want to see what my genuine reaction is amazing. Was when I saw Cramorant. I do like Cramorant a lot.
I do too.
The thing to talk about here is the fish in its mouth has too much detail. If people thought Meltan was a placeholder...
Meltan is a placeholder.
This fish is has to be a Pokemon, right? The fish itself has to be its own Pokemon.
It looks like an English dart. It has to be a Pokemon. It's got to be like a dart fish because it's shaped like a dart. So, I mean, it's weird that they wouldn't make it its own Pokemon, like kind of like how Remoraid was attached to Mantine and then became its own thing. Like, there's no way this isn't its own thing.
Right.
I mean, it's too detailed. It looks like an English dart. It looks like... I mean, it just looks like another Pokemon.
The only thing that could make Cramorant better... It's already like 120 out of 20. It's already above and beyond the best Pokemon. The only thing that could make it better is if it... When it dives to get a fish, this new Pokemon or whatever, if it got different things when it came back up...
If it came up with, like, a boot?
Yeah, like, if it had, like, a boot stuck in its mouth or, like, a tire, that would be... That would really be the cherry on the Alcreme, as they say in Galar.
Nobody says that. Because there's no cherries, it's strawberries.
I don't know if this is if this Pokemon is like competitive at all. I don't know if this is like the far fetch of this gen or maybe it's the Klefki. Like, I'm pretty sure Klefki was kind of okay in battles. Maybe it's like the Hawlucha where it's like semi okay. It seems like this ability is probably not going to go to anyone else though. This seems
This seems move exclusive.
Like the wishy-washy. Like, you can't get rid of schooling. This is what it is. So that's it. That's the whole direct. Don't think we're missing anything. Cramorant, Poltergeist, the weird fish in the mouth, 16 forms of Alcreme. Trainer customization looks better than
Curry
expected.
Decks.
Curry decks, the league cards look great. Wonder Trade is back. We know that Ditto is in the game now.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I'm so excited to play these games.
I am too.
Seem to keep getting better and better, and I don't know what would not be exciting at this point. I guess the only thing they really haven't shown is like breeding?
Yeah. We'll get there.
I'm sure they will. I know some people are still holding out for final Evos. I know some people are still holding out for Eevee. Evolutions.
I mean, I'm holding out for Evos, but I mean, I'm still sold on the game.
Yeah, it seems pretty great.
It's solid.
No Pokemon of the Week, no Will. I did listen to the podcast last week. I didn't listen to the last 10 minutes. I didn't get a chance to finish it. I don't know if he did a Pokemon of the Week.
I haven't finished it either, so.
I don't think he did. They did do the sock reviews, which was very funny. No question of the week. I think we're running a little tight.
Yeah, I gotta go to bed, son.
But we'll be a normal whatever show next week. I mean, you got 90 minutes out of us today. So before we go, Greg launched a Kickstarter. I just wanted you to bring it up because I think there's like 25 days left or something.
Yeah, so I wrote an RPG. It's a magical transforming heroes RPG, so based off of the magical girls genre and Power Rangers and other such things. It's called Glitter Hearts. It's on Kickstarter now. By the time this goes out, it'll probably be about 25 days left. As of right now, I am $2,000 away from being completely funded, and it's been up for 2 days. So check it out, please. And if you like it, back it. And I'd be very happy.
Backer number 69. Not that 69 means anything, but...
Nice.
That'll be in the show notes. Will did not do this last week. Usually at the beginning of the month, I bring up the Patreon stuff. I'll just bring it up real quick. If you want to support us on Patreon, I know literally every podcast under the sun gives you their Patreon spiel, like, every episode. I just listened to, like, 3 podcasts this weekend, and there's... As a listener of podcasts, let me tell you, the Patreon spiel gets real old real fast. I understand why they do it. I totally get it. But if you want to support ISC.cash, $2 a month gets you in. We have a really great community with Sword and Shield coming up. Probably one of the places to be. Everyone's very nice, very respectful. If you can't support, no big deal. Not the end of the world. I did say the promise still stands. If we can get to $2,000 monthly on the Patreon, we've always been very close to it. We've never hit it. Greg and I will sit down and plan out another full season of Mythical. I don't expect to hit it this month. I don't expect to hit it next month. But it is a it is a goal that is out there. Yep. But I do not expect to hit it, you know, 10 minutes after this podcast goes up. I do think we would ideally, hopefully hit it by the end of the year. And that's perfect because I don't think Greg or I have time this year.
Yeah, it's real tight.
Really tight with Sword and Shield. So it would be obviously a project we would probably do early to 2020. So just something that's out there. Again, no pressure, but we've always been very close to that 2,000 a month milestone on Patreon. But that's it. Thank you for listening. Sorry there was no third wheel here on the show, but the crew, by the time this podcast goes up, Will should actually be walking through his door in Minnesota. So next week should be the three of us. I'm home.
Yep.
It'll be great. You can follow
my consolidating power in Minnesota soon. You'll all be here.
You can follow myself on Twitter at Dragging a Lake. You can follow Greg on Twitter at White Wing. You can follow the podcast at Twitter at Pokemon Podcast. And if you have not come out to the Twitch streams yet, twitch.tv/PKMNcast. As soon as I get back from my trip from Minnesota, as soon as this podcast goes up, I'll be streaming every day again. It is September. So what that means is if you want to subscribe to the Twitch channel so you don't get ads, you get the emotes, you get all that cool stuff. It's 50% off this month. Twitch does that because September is historically the worst month on Twitch. So they do it to help streamers make a living. I don't know, make extra cash, whatever. But regardless, be nice to see your face. I had like three people today come in and say, I came for the podcast. I love the show. And it's awesome. It feels really great. For at least it feels great to me.
I hang out in there sometimes. If I don't answer, it's because I'm playing Final Fantasy 14.
It's true. Greg is usually there. But that's our episode. We will see you guys next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective and super gulp missile.
Like every podcast on the internet, we are funded by Patreon. This is a shout out to all the supporters at the producer tier on Patreon. A huge thank you to Alex, Anthony, Catherine, Matthew, Jeffrey, Kevin, and Cygnus. If you would like to join our community and support the podcast, you can head over to ise.cash for more information.